And listen, we're at a church here. We love Jesus. We embrace community. We serve the world. We're excited about what God is doing and believe that the best is yet to come in our life. And I believe that the first Sunday of the year sets the tone for the rest. And so I know you've come in and maybe there's a hangover from the holidays. And I know you're excited about what the new year is going to bring after you wake up a little bit. I get it. But at the same time, God is already at the end of this year. You know that. And so we have to be ready and poised for what God wants to do into our life. And so we're going to start a series today called Rhythms and talk about what the word of the year I believe God gave us for this church and for us to really grab hold of, because I believe God wants to do this not only in one area of our life, but every area of our life. And we have to be ready to receive that. And as I was talking in team rally this morning, if you believe God and you believe that he's only going to meet you here, he'll only meet you there. But if you raise your level of expectation and believe God wants to do more, God will do more in your life. God responds to your faith. The Bible says without faith, it's impossible to please God, because when we come to him, we have to believe that he is, number one, and that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And so our anticipation has to be God will meet me where I'm at, and that God is going to meet me over and above what I'm experiencing right now. And I just want us to take off the religious glasses. I want us to take off our thought patterns of what we think church is, because sometimes we come in and we're too nice. We're too passive. We believe that, well, I'm just going to receive what God has for me today and just go out the same way. That's not what church is about. That's what this church is definitely not about. And so if you've come in here just wanting to sit, it's not going to last very long, because God really wants to shake you out of some complacency and get you moving in your life. I believe that's one of my mandates, is to get you moving in your life. And so if you don't like to move, it's going to be hard. And so you have got to get into a position in your life. I believe that God wants to constantly build your character, yes, but help you go from faith to faith in your life. And that means that you're going to be going through things in your life periodically so God can lift you out of the certain vantage point that you have in your life right now to a different vantage point so you can see differently. Because the Bible says the just shall live by faith, but also right now you are already seated in heavenly places. You're already there. It's a matter of how you look at where you're seated, but also what you're looking at right now. Most of us look at it the other way. We look at it like it's looking back down at me. My circumstances are overtaking me. When in reality, you should be looking over top of those things and say, no, you're not going to rule me, because I know where I'm seated. And so you have to shift that view in your life from it's killing me to no, I'm going to make it my slave and I'm going to overcome this thing. You know, that's why they were placed in the garden. That's why Adam and Eve were placed in the garden. When he gave the command, it says, subdue and rule. That very word, subdue, means to bring into bondage, make your slave. God said, I want you to rule over it. Don't let it rule over you. And so as we start this year, what is ruling you right now? What is ruling you? And I know this isn't fun for everybody, and people like to go to church, and they like to be able to be pacified in their emotions. That's not what God's church is about. That's not what God wants for you. God wants to move you from where you're at into another place. And so it's going to get uncomfortable, but it's going to get uncomfortable because God wants it that way. He wants it that way, because that's how change happens. And so the word of the year is restore. Restore. 3 years ago, we talked about reset. Last year was rise. This year is restore. What does this word restore mean? It means this: to bring back a previous right, practice, custom, or situation, to reinstate. I believe God wants to bring you back into the position of life where you're ruling in your life, not just physically, but emotionally, spiritually, and financially. And whatever you've lost in your life, I believe God wants to reinstate and bring back in greater measure in your life this year. And if you believe that, say amen. But also, you're going to have to want it. You're going to have to want it. God said, I promised it to you. All my promises are yes, but my people say amen. So I have to receive that. God can bring it to your door all day, but if you don't open the door, you're not going to receive it. And I believe that God's been knocking on some of your doors, and God's trying to get in, but you're not opening the door because you're afraid about what he's going to ask you to do. You're afraid about what God is going to get into and start messing with. You like God when he gets in and he deals with what you want him to deal with. But when God uncovers the scab and he uncovers what's really there, you don't like him to get into that place because that place hurts. And that place means that you have to be vulnerable. And that place means that you have to get raw with God and allow God in to deal with the root of it so that you can really be healed. But instead of doing that, we say, no, I'll just take the surface stuff. Lord, just spray a little bit over here. God said, I don't want to spray it. I want to get in and heal it. I want to deal with it. Because if we can deal with it, you'll see the whole time that I've been with you and that I want to help you overcome with. Most of us in here, we walk into life, all of us in here walk into life maimed in some way. We live in a fallen world, thanks to Adam and Eve. So no one is perfect. We all have fallen natures. We all have different things about ourselves we do not like. We all have things in our bodies we do not like. We are by nature fallen. We are sinners. And so the fact that you are never going to sin again is far-fetched. You will. So when you understand the fact that I had a nature, had my old nature, and the fact that I have a new nature in Christ makes me understand the fact that what God brought me from is great, and God has given me a new nature to be able to deal with life, but it doesn't mean that the struggle is going to end. That struggle will not end until Jesus comes and takes us back with him, and we're with glory with him. We're going to have to deal with that in our life. But God says, I do want to restore those things in your life. For some of you financially, those things the cankerworm and the palmerworm have stolen, some of the things in your life that maybe you lost opportunities with, that you never had, and God says, I want to bring some other opportunities back in your life, but I want to bring restoration back in your life because I want my people walking in the joy of what salvation really is. Salvation is not something that we say, well, I got a one-way ticket to heaven, and that's great, and I believe God has saved us and that eventually we're going to be with him, but we've talked about in here before that we are being saved daily. That process is working in our life. And so if we're in that process daily, that means that God is going to bring us through different seasons of our life that are harder, some maybe a little bit easier, but for the purpose of bringing the process of sanctification to its fullest, to its completion, so that we can become more and more like him. That's why the Bible talks about us becoming mature and complete in him, lacking nothing. And so could it be right now that you're going through things in your life so God can bring you to a place so that you're lacking nothing for what he's called you to do? We talk about, well, the work is already done, and it is. Positionally, the work is done. But we have to come into an alignment with that work and say, okay, God, what you've already planned beforehand, we come into alignment and we receive that in Jesus' name, and I thank you that I'm going to see that fruition in my life. It's a two-way street. God doesn't just force it in us. That's not love. God says, listen, you're going to take it whether you like it or not. He doesn't do it that way. What he does do is he said, listen, I'm going to bring it to you, and I'm going to give you the opportunity whether or not you're going to allow me to do this work in your life so that I eventually can do it through you. And that's the hard part, because God is always wanting to answer. The question is, we don't always like to receive what he's bringing. I love Christmas. Christmas is a great time of year. But how many of you have ever got the gift where you fake smiled? Years ago, I was teaching at a school, and I might have shared the story with you before, but I was called down to the, I guess it was the principal's office at the time, and I was a grown adult. I was a PE teacher, and she came to me, and she said, oh my gosh, I'm so excited. And I said, what's going on? She goes, a little birdie on the tree told me that you are a Clearwater Phillies fan. And I looked at her, no, those of you who know me, out of no affirmation or affinity for the Phillies. Okay, listen, not just the Philadelphia Phillies, a major league team. We're talking about the minor league team. Clearwater Phillies around here in the area. And I looked at her and I said, yes! Thank you! And she gave me a baseball with a Philadelphia Phillies emblem on it. And I walked away and I said, I don't know what just happened, but I fake smiled. And I went home, and I remember talking to my dad about it, and I said, no, I got to go back and tell her I am not a Philadelphia Phillies or a Clearwater Phillies fan, just so she understands and knows that what you did for me was great in intent, but in reality, that's not just what I'm about. And so I went back and I told her, and we laughed about it. But that was one of the occasions where I didn't necessarily like the gift, but I fake smiled because of the intent. Okay? Here's the thing with God. He is always saying, hey, listen, I'm presenting you with this solution. You have the choice of whether or not you're going to take the solution and apply it to your life. But how many of us look and say, I don't like that solution? It's too hard. It's going to take too long. And I don't know if I have the faith in order to believe that you're actually going to do it. Because honestly, I am to the point right now where I don't believe that you're going to come through for me. And so for me to believe that you actually have a solution for me, it's just not working. And let's just be honest in here. We can talk about spirituality all the time, but there's a real side to Christianity of where if we don't really help deal with that real side of us, and for some of us it's that shadow part of our life, and get that under control, we will end up missing out on what God has for us, dying too soon because of we don't understand the reality of what a real Christian walk is like. Where God is not just some toy maker who gives us whatever we want when we want it. He's not a genie who every time we rub the bottle, he comes out and says, okay, what are your three wishes, master? God doesn't belong to anybody. And so we have to align ourselves unto God and say, okay, God, I'm asking you and coming into relationship with you, what do you have for me? And God says, good, now we're ready to get started. So this year, this is what I'd like to see in your life. Whoa, time. That's not what they told me about Christmas. They told me that you were the gift that keeps on giving and that it felt good. I watched the movie on Elf when Will Ferrell went crazy because Santa was coming. I thought I was supposed to get excited. You were born in a manger, and it was a great night, and it was sweet. And God said, that was great, but I grew up, and there are other things that I like to do in your life besides cater to your emotions. Don't get me wrong. God is connected with you. Yeah, he's connected in your emotions. But God said, listen, if we were to live on emotions, if I were to look at you based upon my emotional state toward you, I'm perfect in every way. And still sometimes I'm like, But I want to restore things to you that you lost. But I want you to understand that it does not come without a cost. There is a sacrifice that's going to take place in your life in order for you to receive what I have. That's just the way it works. Nothing is just going to come by osmosis. But if you stay with me and remain in me, you'll begin to see the fruit in your life that I've called you to see. And so I think for most of us in here, we would say this. How's your life? It's okay. That's the response that we give. It's okay. But did God really come so that you can just be just okay? Okay, the death on the cross, it was okay. No, that was the reason why he came. So that you can be here today learning to live your life through him, not just so you can just be okay, so that you can be great. I'm not there yet, but guess what? I am better than I was. And I tell you, things are looking better in my life. I am great. It's the attitude that we talked about in our life. Just because I haven't received it yet doesn't mean I'm not good. I am good because of what Jesus already did for me. I am righteous because of what he did for me. I am saved because of what he did for me. I am good. Listen, I'm okay. The next time you hear that, say, listen to yourself. Listen, now you know what? I'm good. I'm working through some stuff, but I'm good. Well, that's a false confession, brother. It's not a false confession. I don't see it necessarily the way I want. What? Okay. Go back. What's it going to take for you to be? Well, I'm great because once you get what you think you need, guess what? There's another place you're going to need to get. I'm great. I'm getting better, though. I'm getting better. I'm great. So the attitude has to be, man, things are looking up. What do you mean they're looking up? No, they're looking up. Because of where he is. If I were to wait to praise God based upon whether or not I received what he gave for me, I'd be waiting a long time. Do not wait. And news flash, you'll move through it quicker if you think more. One of the things that we miss out upon is the joy of experiencing life as a whole with its triumphs and its victories. Life is life, man. You have to have that mentality. I'm just getting up and I'm going after it. I'm going in it. Well, I don't know what's going to happen today. Me either. I'm just going in it. But I know I have a direction and a compass. And I know that I can trust in him and he's going to make all my paths straight as I walk in him. He doesn't necessarily tell me that's the straight path. Walk in it. Guess what I do? I start to walk in it, and guess what? He begins to navigate it into the right path for his name's sake. The right path, not your path, the right path for his name's sake. Because in that path, you're going to find more about his name and glorify him in that path that he's laid out for you. That's why you can't reason it and try to figure it out and be like, well, this makes sense. It does not. You go and he leads you, and all of a sudden it becomes the right path for his namesake, because then your praise becomes about the relationship that you have with God and what God has revealed about you. And so when you sing songs like "All I Want Is to Live Within Your Love," you have an understanding of what that looks like, because God has led you through hard times and difficult times, and you realize and recognize the love of God like you have not seen before, and God begins to intervene in circumstances in your life, and it just becomes about him. It doesn't become against anybody else. Bring on the hard times. Bring on the difficulty. It doesn't matter, because your love is still good. Whether it's hard, whether it's easy, whether it doesn't make sense, it doesn't matter. His love is still good. It never fails. In those moments, God says it never fails. Push into me in those moments. It's not easy. It sucks, but push in. God says it's not about being easy. I know it sucks. Oh my God. You mean God understands my heart, and God sees my thought, and God understands my brutal honesty? He loves it. That's where intimacy is developed. God, it doesn't feel good. I don't like it. I don't understand it. It sucks. I'm going to say it again. Until I can get over the fact where I realize that when I'm doing that, intimacy is being developed between me and God, so that God can look down and get past all your superficial junk and all that stuff and all that religiosity, and look down and say, I see what's in your heart. I just want you as a sacrifice. Just give it to him. Talk to him. Stop playing around. You play around too much, and you forfeit the progress that God wants to bring into your life, because you won't be intimate and won't get to the issue. God says, stop playing. Just come to me with it. Stop. I don't like people who dance around the issue. Stop dancing. You know you get irritated by that. How do you really feel? Well, I'll tell you. This is how it is. They're doing one of these things. Well, you know, I'm kind of like, you know, I don't really, but yeah, you know, if you want to, but tell me how you feel. Well, I don't really want to go there, because that's how it is. I'm not saying you have to vent all your feelings, but stop this whole little thing you're doing. This is what we do. And you dance yourself right out of an opportunity to build relationships with people because, well, you know, I don't want to hurt anybody. This is what God, I just want to be at peace, and you forfeit progress. If you think that your blessing is going to come without a problem, you're in the wrong life. Well, God's going to bless me. There'll be no issues. Where does that say that? I don't know. No, he said, no, we're going to get into this thing, and you're going to understand what it means to really walk by faith, and you're going to cry sometimes, and we're going to get down in it, and we're going to dig up some stuff. But this is the beauty of it. Isn't that why they play sports? For the love of the fact of just getting out there and see what's going to happen. Tom Brady's 87 years old, but he's still playing football. He loves it. He loves to grind. He loves the process. They lost last night. Whatever. God bless him. But just the fact, just to get out there and see what happens. Isn't that why you get in life, to see what happens? Well, I want to stay on the sideline. Do not. I tell you what, this year, if you are on the sidelines of any area of your life, I pray that God would send someone to kick you off it, or that God himself will physically move you to where you need to be in the game. Because you are missing out on the blessing of falling, but also the possibility of rising. But something, you got to get down in it. You got to help God to change that mentality that you have in your life that, well, it's going to be easy. No, none of that. Get down in it. Some of the best fights that I've had, I got down in it. Because what happens in your life is that the enemy doesn't dance around stuff. You think he's sweet and he's a little boy with a pitchfork and he's like, I'm going to poke you here and poke you there. No, I'm going to come wreck your life and I'm going to come turn it upside down so that physically you're stunted, emotionally you're a wreck, spiritually you've got no knowledge of who God is and you doubt every step of the way and don't even get me started about your finances. I'm going to wreck everything in your life. And then we'll see whether or not you really love God or you don't love God. Isn't that what happened with Job? And God said, I'm going to deliver you up. He even told Satan. Have you considered him? Because God knew at the end, this man would not deny him and that God would restore back what was lost. And God said, listen, you can do anything you want. Just don't take his life. Do you know that's how God is with you? There's stuff happening in your life right now, and it's havoc, and you're doubting God. Listen, trust God in the process, because God wants to take you from just being okay. I'm just okay. It's disgusting. Have you ever had an okay cup of coffee? It was okay. You go out to dinner because you like the food, right? Man, our food was great. It was okay. I'm not going back. Lord God, when God looks down at his people, he wants them to look at their life differently. Change your perspective of why I came and why you're here. Stop doubting that I can't do something great in your life. I'm moving you from just okay to great. Let's go through the process together, but it's not great. It's okay. I understand. I knew what it was like to have pain. Look at your life. Physically, emotionally, spiritually, financially. It's just okay. It's not God. It's okay. How's your relationship with your wife? It's just okay. Oh, you know, it's great. She is totally opposite than I am. And it's difficult and it's hard, but guess what? It's great, because you know why? It gives me a different perspective about life, and it helps me be better, because I can still be in it and not be bitter, but get better because of it, because God still loves me as an individual, loves her as an individual, and we can still do life together. The message that I preached about, was it this year or last year, when I talked about how she is not my slave, she is not my God. She's a helpmeet that God has brought into my life to help us do life together. But God has an ultimate purpose for us as a couple, but also individually. Do I like it all the time? Not necessarily, but guess what? God's at work. Oh, I can say that. Yeah. Because respect level is there enough to understand that, hey, this isn't easy, but guess what? God's good. Because my life would be totally different if it wasn't like this. Can you imagine if God just let you live your life the way you wanted to live it, based upon comfort and based upon doing what you wanted to do? How many of you wouldn't be here, wouldn't have the grace to stay in it, wouldn't miss out on the blessings that come with difficulty in your life? Isn't that what God is about? We make the mistake to think, well, God put two people together. He put them together, and we see in the movies that it's going to be that way. It has nothing to do with the way the movies look like. It has everything to do with what God is trying to do through you to represent him as a couple through you to the world. and also to the community that you're involved with in your life. So don't think for one moment that it's not going to be difficult. If you get married just because you think she looks good, that's going to fade. Listen, come on right now. Let's just really talk about this stuff. We're looking at Fabio from on TV with the flowing hair and doing all this stuff. Man, I want him. You don't want him. The boy's 65 years old, 7 years old right now. He don't look like he did 25 years ago. What you want is that you want to be loved and you want to be accepted, and you think that he's going to do it. He's not going to do it for you. He'll love and accept you only to a point. God's got to take it from there. We just see so many people getting involved in relationships, and it's like for the wrong reasons. If I didn't have the foundation that I had, I would have been out a long time ago. Let's just talk about this. We have to, because what happens is we come to church and we spiritualize so many things, and we don't realize that people are going through real struggles in their life right now. If God doesn't come in and help you work on your character, you will jump out of every situation that God puts you in because you think that just because it doesn't feel good, it's not God. And that is not biblical. He said, die to your flesh. Here's your husband. Here's your wife. What? Die to your flesh. Okay. Oh, by the way, you're going to have some kids too. They're going to grade on you. And you're going to learn some things about who I am and the character and how I love you. But guess what? It's going to be good. Because God looks out and he says, man, it's good. Because I see them growing and I see them developing. And God says, I see it. That's what God's looking for. Growth and development. And really what we're talking about is soul care. My mind and my will and my emotions. God's just trying to take care of your soul. What? He's trying to take care of your soul so that your mind lines up right, so that you think clearly, and so that your will is submitted under him, and so that you actually have enough willpower to do what God has asked you to do and to stay in it, and so that your emotions also line up with those things. That I understand that I have more power over my emotions than I think that I do. That I don't allow my emotions to rule necessarily my decisions. Nothing wrong with having emotions. We all do. But when they cross over to dictating what I do in my life, then it becomes unhealthy. And then I get ruled by them instead of being ruled by the Spirit of God in my life and understanding who I am. And then I end up crossing over into domains I don't need to be in. I become obese. I get addicted. I begin to lean on things I don't need to lean on, and instead of learning how to be interdependent with people, I become codependent. And I begin to say things like, if I didn't have you, I don't know where I'd be. Uh-oh! Yeah? Thank you. Community is great, and we're supposed to be in community. And God often does restoration in community. You get around other people who are healthier than you are, and all of a sudden, that healthiness begins to rub off on those who are unhealthy, and there's a rising effect that takes place, and it causes that person, if they allow it, and all of a sudden, healing takes place in their life, and they begin to see things different. They begin to walk different. I don't know what it is. I'm just around other people. Why? Because you're around healthy. Man, church was good today. I don't know what it was about church today. Well, the Spirit of God was there. Believers were there, and you're actually allowing God to do some things in your life, and you're getting past the emotion of whether or not God really loves you or not. Because if that is not solved or worked on, then it will become a schizophrenic walk with him. Because every time something difficult happens in your life, you play the flower game, and you start taking the petals off. He loves me. He loves me not. He loves me. He loves me not. He loves me. And it becomes a psychotic thing. But God loves you. No, he doesn't. No, he loves you. You learn quicker as you walk with God that not only do you have a walk with God, but you have an enemy who wants to thwart that walk. And so if I can get where I need to get with God quicker, I was telling Mrs. the other day, I'm at a better vantage point than I need to be. And so I feel like I'm ahead of the game and not being dragged through it. God wants to get you to a high place so that you can look at it differently. Oh, I see. I see what he's doing. But most of us do this. God, if you just get me up, if you get me up, I'll come get it. Thank you, Lord. Just come on. The enemy's on me, Lord. He's on me. You know, you got to pull up your pants and everything. He's on me. Hair all ragged. What are you doing?
Get up. Well, I know I like the ground, and I like the ground too much. Then we start saying it just feels good here, and we become lazy in our faith. And instead of fighting, all of a sudden we become bored, apathetic, and it becomes a downward spiral. We were standing, now we're sitting. If I can just lay down for a little bit. No, here's if I can just lay down, I'll be fine. And we lay down, and we can't get up. We start saying things like, you know, maybe it'd be better if I just stay here. If I can just, you know what? I'll tell you what. It's better here. It's comfortable here. And what we don't realize is that the enemy has got you where he wants you. And death begins to take place in your life. And if you're not careful, you'll stay there. How many people have you known? Life has come in, kicked them. And instead of responding, what they did was say, you know what? It's just too hard. It's not worth it. They were standing, started to sit. And when they started to sit, you're like, don't sit. Don't sit. Come on. Come to church with me. Come on. Come on. I'm praying for you. Come to church. Come on. Come on. No, I just can't. No, I'm telling you. Come on. I just can't do it no more. And all of a sudden, they're done. You have to have a will, not only to live, but to thrive and overcome in this life. You have to. We say this often, and we use it as a joke sometimes when we work out physically, but and you can attest to this, Sean, and those who work out, that it is a real thing that when you are being pushed to the brink physically, whether or not you think that you're going to make it through it. And I'm telling you, if you don't understand what I'm saying, just come work out one time. I'm telling you, because it is a lesson in life. A lesson. There have been times where we've seen people work out so hard that they either pass out, moi, or they can't physically make it through because mentally they don't have the capacity to understand what it takes to actually get through that part. And sometimes it's not even until you do it that you don't recognize where I'm weak at, so that I can help change that process. Now, for me to stop doing that is counterintuitive to my progress. So if I say, well, oh God, I'll never do that again, immediately you've killed your progress. I'll never do that again. Spray yourself, drink a latte, and you're out. But if you say to yourself, you know what, that wasn't helpful, I'm going to do it again. Then you begin to train your mind. And your mind begins to grow bigger than what your emotions are telling you to do. Let me give it to you this way. Studies have said this, that those that have Alzheimer's or dementia, that the brain is like a muscle. So if that you don't do hard things to exercise your brain, you are more apt to slip into that in your life because of atrophy. So the fact that the number one thing we do with this church is hard things is what you need to hear in order for you to keep progressing in your life. I'm not talking about performance-based relationship with God, where I feel like I have to perform in order for God to love me. But I am talking about doing hard things to stretch my mind so that I can think bigger than where I'm at right now, because there might just be more possibilities than I'm seeing in my life. And it's not until I go through that hard corridor, that dark spot, that tight spot in my life, that I don't see that at the end of that death process, there's actually life on the other end of it. That's how God does it. Well, I guess that's all there is. Nope, that isn't. Through the hole. That's the process. Not only physically, and my encouragement is to do something physically this year to restore back some of your health in your life physically, because whether or not you like to admit it or not, when you feel better physically, guess what? Your outlook is different. Well, I just can't do that. Well, stay the same. Well, that's just kind of hard. No, it's what they say. 150 minutes a week of elevated heart rate is what you're supposed to be there. If you're not there, you can get there. That's just what they're recommending so that you can stay healthy in your life. Well, and how much better you would feel. Talk to anybody who really goes through it. You know what? I hated it, but you know what? At the end, there's some benefits. There's benefits. Because no one likes to go through it. But at the end of it, you're like, man, I can remember last year when we did Murph. It was awful. But at the end of it, I sat at Sonny's, and I'm sat at the table. I'm like, man, feel good right now. Because I survived it. That's where God wants you to be. Not that you have to enjoy the progress or the process. Enjoy the progress, but the process doesn't have to be, I like this. God is not interested in you saying, Lord, I love this process right now. Thank you. But he's interested in you being exercised by it because he knows on the other end of it, there's progress and you're happier because everything he does is to lift you up. I'm just trying to lift you up. That's what unconditional love is. It's looking out for the best interest of the other person. I'm doing it for you. You. So I can lift you up because I want you to see that you're better than what you're acting like right now. You. So if you see me running around just jogging, I'm just doing it to keep my mind engaged. Emotionally, if I'm in relationships and I feel like God's asking me to do things, he's doing it for a reason. So he can expand my emotional capacity so that I can love better. Not so I can love more codependently, but so I can love like he does. Learn to love them when they come and learn to love them when they go. Just having a right perspective. And then when it comes to my spirituality, the more I exercise my faith, the more I'm going to see myself swell up in the spirit. Swell up. How many remember years ago when you exercised? Remember when you did it for a while, all of a sudden you looked in the mirror like, oh my God, I see the definition. You begin to see change in your life, and I look good. You're looking at yourself, and you see the muscle, the definition. This is good. It's good. That should have been the motivation to keep going. But instead, we go back and say, oh, it's just too hard. But God said, no, remember, it's supposed to be consistent, but we'll do that some other day. Now, it's the same way spiritually. When I continue to exercise my faith spiritually, what happens is eventually I get a peak. And all of a sudden I say, I'm stronger than I was in that position. I don't look away as easy. I stand strong on that. Now, that's just not what it is. That's what this is. Because my intuition, my discernment is up another level because of what I've been through in my life. And so all of a sudden I hear God just, no, that's not correct the way you're looking at that. No, this is really the way it is. Oh, you don't agree? No, I don't. This is really the way it is. And my confidence level is different now because of the fact that what I've been through, I can stand stronger in my life because I stood in it. If I didn't stand in it, I didn't learn anything, I wouldn't be able to stand in it. And every time opposition came against me, I would just tuck tail and run. No, but because I stood in it, God did what he had to do in me, and now I can look at it correctly. And my faith is built. So the next time something comes in, guess what? I don't like it necessarily, but I'm staying in it. Lord, give me the grace to stay in it. Because I know you're working something out regardless of whether I feel like it or not. I don't choose to be in this situation, but what I do is I choose you in this situation. No, I choose you. And God says, yes! That's what I'm looking for. That's what I want. Because all of a sudden, you see the source. The source isn't how I feel about it. The source is who I know is in control of it. And so I can come and say, no, you come down. And all of a sudden, God begins to pick us up. It is nothing for God to change it like this and spin it. What God is looking for is for change in you. I don't like change. That's what business we're in. And you know life is about change. It's changing all the time. And God says, I'm just going to change with you. I'm going to cause things to change so that you rely on me. It has to be me. It has to be me. And then financially is the last thing. We don't like to talk, but financially, here's the deal. God wants you to be blessed in your life. I don't care what other people tell you. God wants you to be blessed in your life so that you can be a blessing, so that you can be and have a testimony that God is faithful. He is my provider, and I am blessed over in abundance of what I need. And I tell you what, I want to bless you just because of what God has done for me in my life, not just because I have it, but I want to give it so I can help you. It's better to lend than it is to receive or borrow. God said, don't allow the enemy to come in and say, well, that's just all it is. It's just okay. He was not satisfied with being second. And he decided that he was going to go over his head and try to be first. And God said, no, I'm not going to have nothing with it. And a third of the angels fell down. So for him, he wasn't able to be satisfied with where he was at. But what he tries to do with you is to get you satisfied with where you're at. No, that's all that God has. No, it's more. It's more. Here's my challenge to you. 90 days. You got 90 days. I'm going to challenge you for 90 days to do something hard physically, emotionally, spiritually, and financially. No games on it. Because I believe that after 90 days, you'll see breakthrough in your life. You'll start to see change. I don't know if I can do it. Well, you probably won't with that attitude. But with the attitude that it's going to be hard, it might. It's not going to be easy. Nope. But I'm going to do it anyway and learn to push past the limitations in my mind. For you physically, what that means, get out there and start doing something a little bit every single day. We're getting down to the practicals right now. Every single day. I don't care what it is. I don't care if you walked around your neighborhood six times. I just walked around my neighborhood six times to start. I just wanted to see what I can do. And you did it, and you didn't die. Oh, my God, I can do this. And all of a sudden, you do it again. And you get on a program. If you need a program, talk to Misty. Whatever. Find something to do. A little bit. At work, at your office, get a little timer on your watch. It's time to stand. At lunch, I got to walk. Why? My pastor said, I got 90 days. I got 90 days to get in shape. You're going to kick me out of the church if I am not in shape. I got to get down to a size 2 again, like I was in high school. I got to go. I'm sorry. I'm not eating. No, I'm not eating. Don't tempt me, devil, with that ice cream. Don't. You got to do it. Get around other people who are doing it. They can help you. Start somewhere. I believe physically, emotionally, spiritually, everything, all areas of your life, God says, let's get on this thing. And you can pray about what that looks like during the fast. We'll get that in a minute. Emotionally, what does it look like for me? How do I need to be better in my relationships? What is it about my shadow that is just killing me? And that shadow we talked about last year is that part of us that always seems to creep up about when we're about to make progress in our life that says, nah, you won't, and pulls you right back down because of what grandpa did, what your dad did, or what your mom did. That voice is so prevalent and loud in your head that you cannot get over it. And God said, listen, I'm going to come and break that generational curse off you so that you can learn to have healthy relationships and also win and know that you're valued in your life and that you are not some sucker, that you are actually bought with a price and loved and accepted. That's where I want to get. So you stop giving yourself over to things that have no value and that your opinion actually does matter. Regardless of what you think everybody else is going to say, you don't have to walk in fear. Hey, listen, let's deal with that. He said, let's just go ahead and deal with that fear this year. Let's deal with it. And that means having to walk through fear in order to deal with fear. Oh, no, no, it doesn't, Pastor Richie. Yes, it does. You have to walk through fear in order to overcome fear. And God is going to put you in situations where you're going to have to deal with it. And you're going to want to run, tense up. You know how you get. Can't do it. Heart's going to beat. No way out. I'm going to make you deal with it. Because I want you over the fact that you're not a boy anymore. You're not a girl anymore. You're my kid. And you're not supposed to be backing down from anything in your life. But until I get you to see that you're more than that, you'll never rise up to the position that I've called you to walk into. Come on, man, get up here. You never will. You're not some boy anymore who's still dealing with childish things. Or maybe you are, and God said, we're trying to deal with that this year. Or maybe you're some girl who's thinking about, I don't know what happened, and you're dealing with stuff from your past and your dad, and God said, listen, we got to get to the point where that's over. I'm your dad. emotionally, helping you deal with some of that process in our life. Because, and you can talk to any counselor too, most of the things that trip us up are from family of origin. What we didn't get, or what we did get, what we didn't think we get. And we can get so wrapped up emotionally, and the enemy can get us in there that we totally miss that God has created us new in him, and that God has a new plan for us, and God wants to start something new with you. Emotionally, what does that look like? And then financially, here's my challenge to you. If you're not tithing 10%, you start tithing 10%. Well, I just... This is how it gets. I just don't see that in there. See a lot about the end times. No, 10. Tithe means 10th. Well, what do we? I give my time to the church. Nothing to do with your money. Wait a minute. Time out. That's mine. No, it's not. God's given you the ability and the power to create wealth and also to give it back. You want my money. I don't want your money. God wants your heart. Because all you do is stop up the flow that God wants to bring into your life. And so that you can, I would just be so bold to say this, is that if you would release what's in your hand, God will say, oh, now you're open. And so we can, now we can transaction with one another. Some of you, the bank of heaven has been closed with you because of the reality of the fact is you're not giving what you're supposed to give back to God. He's the manager. And then all of a sudden, if you do that, God will bring back what he needs to bring into you. I just can't do that. It's going to be hard. Yes, it is. 90 days. 10%. I don't know who gives in this church. Just so you know. I'm just saying for you, can you imagine if everyone did what they were supposed to do? How effective a body could be? Not just that, but how more effective your life could be. The church goes as the people go. Ten. Some of you give more. Praise God. It's not about the amount, but it is about at least the tenth. I'm leaving. Okay. Can't believe he wants my money. Ten. God says, just give it back to me. I'll bless you with more. God has ways of all of a sudden doing things behind his back and throwing you some stuff. Things open up. Things being paid off. All of a sudden, could you start to believe in God? Oh my gosh, I can't believe what's happening. God's blessing me in my life. I can't believe it. Things are being paid off. Why? I don't know. You just started being obedient. And God, not only did God do that, but when you start seeing that, guess what happens? Your emotional state changes. And you're like, my God, God is for me. If he's for me, who can be against me? Here's my house. Here's my car. You just open it up. Well, that's a little bit hard. No, he opens it up. Create a plan. Find ways. Okay, what can I do? Okay, I can cut out that there. I can give, I'm in $100 a week. I got to give 10. Yeah. I'm not just talking about you. I'm talking about your kids, too. Start teaching it to your kids. So it starts going down to the second and the third and the fourth generation, so that God can start to break off generational curses in your house, because you're doing it. You're doing it. No, we're going to do this. Mia gave her first offering like last month. She made some money. Guess what? I filled out a tithe thing, put Mia Sarlo. Here's the money. She's in the system. And she's 12. I mean, why does it have to be so difficult? If you do it, God said, I'll bless you. I understand seasons are hard, and it's like financially, I don't know if I can do. Here's what this fast is about. Helping you realign yourself with God so that you can help get restoration back in your life physically, emotionally, spiritually, and financially. So that you can put God first and say, okay, God, you're first, and as I'm putting you first, I know that you're going to take up all these other things in my life. You're going to take up my cause. As I take up your cause, you're going to take up my cause. And then all of a sudden, God will start to break through. I'm telling you, if you do this after 90 days, well, you're going to start to come in and see all these. I can't believe what God did. I can't believe what God did. He was good. It's what we have. These little cards here. Out on the wall out there is our little prayer wall between the men and women's bathroom. And what we want you to do is, before you leave church today, is go out on the table, and on this card, just begin to think about, this time next year, I will put it in. We're going to hang them up in that wall for the next year. Someone's going to see it. You don't have to put your name on it. This time next year, I will be out of debt. This time next year, I will be healthy in my emotions. This time next year, I will run a 5K. This time next year, I will. And put God to the test in it. Don't test God. Test God in that. You're not testing him when it comes to your relationship with him as far as, well, I'm going to test him. If he doesn't come through, it's over. No, put God to the test. Believe in faith. I will do it. And believe that he will. If you do it, he said, I'll give you the wisdom that you need. And if you don't doubt, you'll receive that wisdom. Is it going to be hard and difficult? It might be. But I'm telling you what, I'll break up some things in your life if you'll do it. Some of us, we're working with stuff in our life. Things are not working. We got generational stuff going on. I believe this year God said, we'll break that stuff off if you'll let me do it. Let me break it off this year. We got to start doing it. I'm going to start making a list. Tomorrow, I'm running. Tomorrow, I'm going to begin to ask God, okay, next time that shadow comes up, help me to do it anyway. Next time it comes up, I'm fearful, help me to step into that fear and do it anyway. I'm going to do it anyway. I don't care. I'm doing it. No matter what you think or what your process is like, call someone on the phone and say, I'm about to do it. Stay here on the phone with me. Sometimes it takes that. Spiritually, God's asking me to do this thing. It's hard. Pray with me. How'd you do it? Well, I'll tell you what I did. I did this, and this is the wisdom I used. Okay, thank you. Let me ask the Lord now. That's what counseling is, by the way. Side note. Okay, what'd you think? Okay, thank you. Let me pray about it now. I don't have to do what you tell me, but I can pray about it, sift through what I feel like God's telling me to do, and then go do it. That's good counseling. Wisdom. And then financially. Okay, this week, all right, I gave like 6%. That's okay. So next week, all right, I'm telling you what, I'm doing it. I'm getting paid next week. You're already thinking right now, okay, God, payday's coming up. I spent $3,000 on Christmas. What am I going to do? My God. Work it out with God. If you do it, I'm telling you, God will get in and make the crooked place straight. Because it doesn't make sense in your senses, but by the Spirit of God, he knows how to make it make sense. Because it's by faith. There's no condemnation in this. It's encouragement. Do it. What do I do? It's simple. Just do it. Well, I don't know. Here's the thing. Don't dance for the next 90 days. We're already in March, and you're still like, I'm still thinking about whether or not I'm going to tie or I'm going to run or I'm going to give. Well, you are running right now, by the way, by doing this. So just keep doing that. You're doing good there. I don't know if I'm going to speak to my boss. I don't know if I'm really going to be in that relationship. It's 90 days. It's gone by already. You're still in the same spot. Just do it. It's not perfect. Just do it. Get home this week. The fast is this week. Lord, what do you want me to do? He's not really giving me clear direction. Start somewhere. You know. If God is faithful, and he is, he's already in your spirit about some things. You know what I've been telling you about that? If you just start to do it, you'll see me do some things. Okay. But do it for 90. That means every day, plan it out for the next 3 months. You have till April 5th. Are you going to call me up on April 5th and ask me? No, I'm not going to call you up on April 5th. But what I believe what's going to happen is that people want to keep you accountable and say, hey, how'd the 90 go? How'd that go? Well, I'm struggling. Well, did you call someone? No, I felt embarrassed. Hey, as this goes out, this is the time to embrace community. And if you're struggling, Craig calls me and says, hey, bro, I'm struggling with this. Can you pray for me? Absolutely, Craig, I'll pray for you. But don't be bashful and shy about it. This is where God wants to break us through to the other side, where it's like, I'm having a hard time dealing with it. Well, I might have, first of all, I got to get along with God and say, okay, God, thank you for the strength. Instead of going horizontally, let's go vertical first. Lord, give me the strength, because he will. Okay, and then get around other people. Side note, let's be faithful to church over the next 3 months. You don't have to like it. Let's be faithful. Because what you're doing is you're establishing a precedent that says no matter what I feel like, I am going to church this month. Well, I am going to church. Because you know more often than not what happens? The day you don't go is the day God shows up. Something happens, you're like, I can't believe I missed it. Well, you went by your feelings. We got a worship night coming up. I can't do that. They're going to be worshiping God for an hour. That could be the very thing that breaks an hour. Come on. That's the very thing that could break open in your life, what needs to break open, because you break it in the spirit first before it breaks down in the natural. That's why we're so adamant about you getting alone with God, doing warfare, so that you can understand that we're not fighting against flesh and blood. Maria, put that scripture up, Ephesians chapter 6. We're almost done here. I know I'm going long, but you're fine. So, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. You are not fighting me. I'm not fighting you. You are fighting the spirit behind what is happening. So if you don't understand that, you won't understand warfare and understand that you have to break it in the spirit first before you begin to see it in the natural. So the fast allows you to go in, align yourself with God so that the spirit can come down in and break some things off in your life so you can already see the battle's won. And so that you can actually begin to see the victory in your life. That's how it works. I got to see the victory here in order for I see it here. That's the way God works. Spirit, natural. Spirit, natural. Set aside the time. Culminate on Friday night. Well, what if I don't feel anything? God is always doing things that you don't see. And then all of a sudden you'll begin to hear, I got a check in the mail and I didn't know where it came from. 6 months later, medical bills paid off. I'm talking about raising your level of faith. And what if God doesn't do what I want him to do? He will do what he wants to do. And if your heart is for God to come through in your life, he will come through. Well, what if he doesn't do it the way I want him to come through? Stop debating on whether or not he's going to come through the way you want him to come through. Just know that if he comes through, you're going to like it. And be excited about going to sleep at night in peace, knowing that, oh, he's good. Get up the next day. Let's get right back in it. That's what God wants you to get so fired up that you get right back in it. Let's go. Where are we fighting today? Come on. Instead of running away from it, you just get up and go. That's why when we get up in the morning, you have to get over the initial, I can't do it, to no, I'm getting up and doing it. And all of a sudden, the Spirit of God comes in and says, okay, here's the faith you need to keep going because we got more stuff to do. I got one thing done, but guess what? I got to get something else done. Man, God's good. That's the challenge. 90 days. And after 90, I believe God will break through in your life. You'll establish some patterns that will carry you the rest of the year. But you got to do it. Let's all stand on our feet. I want everybody to say, it might be hard. I'm going to do it anyway. Now you're accountable for it. No calling Maria Erickson during the 90 days. It's funny. You laugh. Well, what's going to happen is, I'm kidding, by the way. Okay. What's going to happen is, as you start to do this, all the reasons why you can't are going to come up in your face. You're going to have to shut that down right away and say, no, I'm going to do it. I don't care. It's too important for me to get over this in order to just be just okay to I am doing great in my life. And I can't wait to be around you. I can't wait to be in church. You heard what I said. I can't wait to come. Do you know Sunday has the potential to be your best day and your worst day? Because let's just be honest. It is the one day that we get up and that the excuses come up and say, I'm just not going today. It's a long week of work. I got to deal with my boss tomorrow, and I just got to stay home and really think about it. And what we do is we think ourselves right out of what God wants to do in our life, because how do you know that being around other believers isn't going to lift you up, give you a different vantage point, so that when you get back up Monday, you're like, okay, I can do this. Be faithful. Hey, show up. Hey, you know what I can do? What can I do to get involved? Show up. That's first. Father, we thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your faithfulness. Every hand in the air. Every hand in the air. I know I don't feel like it. Every hand in the air. We're doing hard things. Okay? Thank you, God, for your goodness, your faithfulness, your challenge today. God, your word that is it cuts. God, it brings conviction, but it also brings life to us. And God, I pray today as we leave, we're going to leave with anticipation of what you're going to do. Help us over the next 90 days really to put you first, especially during the fast, seek you, but also to really establish some patterns in our life so that we can go from just being okay to great in our life. Not that everything is great because of what we're experiencing, but we can be great because we know that we've been saved, we're being sanctified, that it is good, you are pleased with us, and that you are not done with the work that you've done in our life and are doing in our life. I pray that there will be a joy, a new faith that would rise up to know that you are completing something wonderful in our life and that we can enjoy it. Help us, God, to learn what it is to give thanks in all circumstances. And that when we get up this week, we're going to override the initial thought that says, I'm not doing it, to, nope, I'm going to do it. And God, help us to be surrounded by people who are going to push us on. But God, give us more of a passion for you, because we know that as we do that, you're going to help line up those things in our life that need to be lined up so that we can be more effective in what you called us to be. Thank you, God, for blessing us this year. We give it to you, and we thank you, God, as we look back, we're going to say, you did exceedingly abundantly above all we can ask or think. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen.